Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. This is not a pure hangover episode. We got a lot going on here. Last night was the podcast party at Matchbox. It was a truly wild success. It was a blast. So much fun being with everybody. But we got to start with football. A couple things are going on. We had a podcast yesterday that Pete lost. So we're calling that the Lost Podcast. And that is going to be on the very end of this podcast. And the reason why I'm doing that is I think it's important because yesterday's practice was important. And we need to talk about it. The Redskins hit more than they have in Richmond, maybe ever. They ran full contact goal line drills. It was an impressive session. So stay for that at the back end of the podcast. We're going to talk about today's practice right now. Tandler's here. Mitch is here. Pete is here. We're in the big tent. Matt Parrison's in here. The air conditioner is back working, which, thank God, these are two of the hottest days I can remember down here. It is baking hot.
Baking hot.
Brutal.
Brutal. Tandler, here's the other thing I want to talk about. Darius Geis interview is coming your way. So we're going to talk for a while. Then you're going to hear Geis. Then the Lost Podcast comes at the end, the one Pete messed up. So let's.
It's not lost if I still have it, by the way. It's the forgotten podcast.
It was lost yesterday. We needed it, yeah. And that's all that really
When it was
counts.
Supposed to go up, it was lost.
I understand. We needed it yesterday. I blew it.
Let's talk about today. Mitch, who'd you have mic'd up today?
We had my man Vernon Davis mic'd up.
How's that?
He a Terp. He was great, you know. Everyone, we all were just talking about how hot it was. That dude probably stopped to get drinks of water 100 times in the 2-hour practice that we were out there. Like, every 3 seconds he was turning around asking for water. They were throwing the towels on the top of their heads, filling them with putting the water over the towels. Those guys were smoking out there. It was hot.
A number of guys left the field to get medical attention, and I think it was all heat related.
Oh, I mean, a couple,
especially the big linemen.
There were a couple of the old linemen that really.
Kyle Callis had to be like dragged essentially into the
Catalina too.
Catalina, yeah, that was not a good look. But that's what happens when it's been 75 or 80 degrees and overcast, and all of a sudden you pop out here and it's 95 degrees with 90% humidity.
And wearing pads and a helmet.
And the sun is just beating down on you.
So hot. I mean, this is the hot pod, I think.
The hot pod.
A couple things that stood out to me. Danny Johnson just keeps making plays. Rob Kelly got a lot of work today, I thought, after getting a lot of work yesterday. I was talking with, I don't know who I was talking with. Maybe McNally. I'm not sure they're keeping four running backs. Because here's the thing. The fourth running back is going to be inactive.
Right.
When Thompson got hurt, they were able to pick Marshall up off the street. And when Marshall got hurt, they were able to pick up Capri Bibbs off the street. You really going to keep four running backs to keep one of those guys? Or, you know what I mean?
Did you hear Jay at the podium today?
Or are you keeping Samaje?
Jay, this morning, said we might keep five.
No, he was totally dismissive of that.
Yes, he was just.
They're not.
It's possible.
Obviously, they're not keeping five.
He did say a couple days ago, and I'm not sure how seriously to take this, but that they have a decent amount of run plays that they like with a fullback, and he said Rob could play that in a pinch. So maybe they'll keep four, keep Rob as one of those, and he can double up as a fullback, and that'd
They're
be a reason.
They're keeping Rob, period.
I know. But that, maybe that'd be a justification for keeping him plus somebody else because Rob can do a double role.
The question is, are they going to cut a fourth-round pick from last year in Samaje?
Right.
I don't see it happening.
I see your point, but he was pretty – in fact, again, you know, coaches don't always tell the truth on the podium. This just in. But he was pretty emphatic about wanting to have a backup to Thompson on the roster.
We'll see, dude.
Last week.
Yeah, but that backup to Thompson is not going to be Perine.
Right.
Right.
You're still talking about cutting
right.
the we're still talking
yeah,
about cutting the fourth rounder.
That's the way I have. I know. Which, you know, it, guess what? It happens.
It's an the intriguing change, thing to figure
change.
Out.
Doesn't happen with this team very
Rob
often.
Rob Kelly has, you know, Rob Kelly's an undrafted guy from 3 years ago.
Right.
Perine should be able to beat him out, but
right.
it doesn't look like he's going
it,
to.
It was one of the things
you, know,
you always.
That's the way it is.
I thought one of your smarter takes was fans love Spencer Long, and Spencer Long never beat out Sean Laval. You know what I mean? And then people are like, how could you let him go? It's like, well, he never beat out this other guy that not
right.
everybody's too high on. We haven't talked about this. Laval's having a good camp.
If he's healthy, he's serviceable.
Right.
Only question is, when does the other
right.
shoe
when does he break down?
Seems to be when, not if.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, how many years in a row has it been now? Three?
He played 14.
Year
I think
before last.
Yeah, he played 14 Two. Games in, six,
like
in 2016.
Last year.
But he played like seven, 3 years? 3 years
like
ago?
Four.
What? 4 years?
I mean, now we're
either way, we're getting away from it.
2015,
but.
He broke his ankle in week three.
Yeah.
And he was gone.
Right.
Well, and I would add this in the Laval discussion, that he tries to play through stuff and then is really bad. You know, I,
right.
I always think about Arizona. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, when Kirk was just getting smashed
well, and,
by Calais Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell just destroyed him.
That's also the O-line mentality. We praised Trent and Morgan all last
right,
year for
right, right.
being out there playing. So it's tough because that's the way those guys think. They, you know, nothing can hurt them until they're hurt.
Right. So only other thing before we get to one thing, because we have a lot to discuss. I'm going to try to move it along. No, I didn't even see Doxson today.
Anybody I didn't see him or Crowder.
Crowder, that's a veteran day off.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ Swearinger got a day off. It's hot as hell. I wish I got a day off.
There's some guys joking over as they were walking out that they were looking around, and they're like, P. Rich is the only receiver out here right now.
Right. What we think with Doxson, we're now 2 days.
What,
Jay said he was going to go yesterday. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what he said today was, this is now Jay Gruden speaks before practice, so we don't have a chance to follow up on the, you know, the
what happened,
injury
right.
things until tomorrow. But he said, well, you know, he expected him to do more than individual drills, but they would look and see. So, you know, maybe at that moment he was getting his shoulder examined, and they decided not to push it. Look, if he at this point now after today, I think maybe today he could have gotten some utility. But at this point, if he's not going to play against the Patriots, why not just
sit him for a while?
Just sit him. I mean, tomorrow's going to be.
I don't even think he should play again. Why would he? Would he play against the Patriots? Would he have one
no.
series against the Pats if the
yeah.
shoulder thing never popped?
Yeah.
But it's also not just the Pats, because following right up after the Pats game, you have 3 days of practices with the Jets. That's
right,
going to be
right.
physical, more physical.
The
than
ones will
what
get more
doing.
Physicality during the Jets practices
than
they will
in the preseason
Foxborough.
Game.
Right.
Absolutely. So if you're saving him for that, not that you're saving him for that, but if you want him to get those reps against the Jets,
right. And which, it's still a more controlled environment.
Oh, absolutely.
Than a
sure.
preseason game.
But Jay, correct me if I'm wrong on this, RT. Jay said when so the Doxson injury happened Wednesday, and then we talked to Jay Thursday. He said he's good, he's fine, he'll be ready to go Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday he didn't go, and that's after an off day Friday. Do I have that right, just the timeline?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
I do.
Okay.
I wasn't
yeah,
really
right.
You're not a math guy, but you're a timeline guy.
Yesterday. But, so what's your point? I'm not sure what your point is.
Is
so
it time to panic?
Jeez. That is not my point. But Jay said he was going to go yesterday. He didn't go yesterday. Now he didn't go today.
Okay. All right. It's training camp.
I know.
Yeah.
I love how dismissive you are of a guy that missed a whole year, and last year
Played 16 games.
And got like 20 snaps the first month.
I think it's concerning. I mean,
we've reached almost like the Jordan Reed level of paranoia with Josh Doctson. Like, we're just always something up with him.
I don't know.
Josh Doctson has played a 16-game season in his career. All I'm saying is, nobody's concerned that
Morgan
Moses. It's
too hot and we're all hungover. I can't
Morgan
deal
Moses
with
is different, you know, obviously because of his track record. But, you know, he turned his ankle. You know, he wasn't out there today. He probably won't be out there tomorrow.
They said it's a few days. It's 1 to 2 days, right?
Right.
So when we get to the third and fourth day, if he's still not out there, we can have the same conversation.
The only reason
I don't know if anybody ever said 1 to 2 days.
Jay said he was going to go Saturday. I'll pull up the transcript.
I do remember that. I don't doubt you on that.
All right. Anyway, let's go to one thing. Let's let Pete talk.
But time. Oh, just real quick. Time frames are very fungible in.
Totally agree. I don't know why you would suggest that he's going to go. That's all I'm saying. And I recognize Jay's not the medical staff.
Because you get told one thing and then they examine it more and it's not coming as fast as they want, etc. And it changes.
That's kind of my point, dude. Right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
What, is a reason to panic over
Justin? No, oh my God, Pete, just start talking.
People at Matchbox last night can tell that our podcasts are getting more and more contentious as camp goes on. They're like, you guys really getting after it recently, and this is going to be another one of those.
I will say one of my favorite things.
It's too hot.
What?
One of my favorite things is they all were like, you know, you guys are the exact same people, like, out of the podcast party as you are on the pod. And I was like, it's kind of the point. Like, that's who we are.
Okay.
The point is we argue, but then we leave it in the podcast tent.
We leave
go
it
outside
in
and we're
not really.
We kind of.
It never really stops.
At least I do. I'll
just say this: I get made fun of in the tent and out of the tent.
You and I argued about what time is early lunch.
Right.
I mean,
what do you mean?
We're fairly argumentative, dude.
All right.
One thing, Pete.
My one thing is I watched a lot.
And another thing. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
Taylor,
you are annoying.
Taylor is feisty today.
Jeremy Sprinkle. We all know he is not the smoothest route runner, the fastest route runner. But I do like how he's able to use his massive tight end body to box people out, clear out linebackers, clear out safeties. And he's been making a decent amount of plays catching the ball. So I think Sprinkle's developed at least a little bit, and we don't need to worry about him becoming the most polished guy because he can just kind of box people out in the red zone and as a third tight end. So I liked what I've seen from Jeremy Sprinkle the past couple days.
I'm with you, Pete. I'm with you. And tight end, we all agreed, is the most set roster position on the team.
Yes.
But Gruden was asked about Sprinkle, and because Pete did something smart, I'm gonna read this Gruden quote. This is from this morning. I love this line too. That's why I'm reading.
Put him in an oven.
Yeah, yeah. Sprinkle is one of these guys.
I've used that before.
Sprinkle is one of these guys you put in an oven a little bit and let him cook, and he is starting to become the big time tight end that we are anticipating him being. That position is really hard to find nowadays, but he is stronger and more confident in what he is doing. Wes Phillips has done a great job with him. I love his length. He's better in the passing game. But really, when it's all said and done, we need one of the tight ends to emerge as good, solid, blocking tight end if we want to run the football. You know, we had issues last year at the tight end position. Sprinkle can provide us a much-needed lift if he can continue on the path that he is on as far as blocking in the running game and also being effective in the passing game. He's got great size, great length, a smart kid, and I think great days are in front of him. Now, Gruden tends to be a little effusive in his praise, but Sprinkle is developing and they need him too. Good news there.
That's how you have to – that's almost the way you have to do it with tight ends these days because the college – the spread offenses in college don't use a tight end.
Yeah, but at Arkansas, that was a run first.
Yeah, I know. That's a different thing, but those programs are few and far between.
It's also a great situation for him. Because you can get a little bit of the route running wiggle from Jordan Reed, but you got Vernon Davis, who's done this forever,
right,
and is pretty savvy blocker when he's in there. So he's got a lot.
He's
of
He's better than Jordan, certainly.
Well, yeah,
But dude, remember Jordan told me he added, you know, almost 10 pounds, and is. I don't know that it's going to make him a better blocker, but I think it lets him be more physical.
Well, I noticed
without. Go ahead.
When we had Preston mic'd up, he was going one on one against Vernon in some. And some run blocking drills, and Vernon doesn't blow anybody off the line, but he's very savvy.
Positions himself.
He turns the guys just enough to get to put them out of reach. He's a savvy blocker.
Yeah, Beamich says you don't need to blow a guy up. You just need to stand in front of him for 2 seconds.
You need to beat them to the spot.
You just have to occupy them.
Right.
Exactly. Also, the Preston Smith mic'd up. Mitch is going to get it to me, and we'll post that soon, Sunday night. So look for that. We've been referencing a lot. It's going to be a good one.
Is that accurate? Sunday night's tonight. Are you saying we're going to post it on the website?
Yeah, so check it out Sunday night, Monday morning. It'll be up there. Two parts.
There's one part of the Preston mic'd up that
I've heard about and I'm very excited
absolutely loved and got super excited about.
All right.
I'm just going to tease it for you guys, and we'll post it, and you'll want to listen.
All right, you're up. One thing.
One thing today was my man Ryan Anderson just absolutely
leveled,
blew up TJ Clemens in a run blocking drill. They were
he leveled somebody in 11-on-11.
Vanessa Gardner, he's headhunting today.
This one, the TJ Clemens one, it was a power run to the right, and as Clemens is pulling around, Ryan Anderson just kind of stepped into the hole and didn't even deliver a huge shot, but just kind of caught him with a shoulder slash maybe side of the helmet right up under Clemens' chin. And Clemens literally, it looked like a giant falling. Like, Clemens, like, got popped
like a
up.
Tree.
He took two little steps back and then just fell flat on his butt.
Damn.
And sat there for a second and was like, what just happened? Yeah. And, like, you just heard the guys going, oh!
So, you Damn. Love the big men.
I do.
That's got to be, like, perfect for you to watch that all shake out.
It was beautiful.
Ryan Anderson saw the back spasms the other day. Today he looked good. I mean, the hit on Gardner was wow.
It wasn't what was encouraging is that it was kind of in the middle of the field like a true linebacker role.
Right. Yeah. It was like it was in the flow of the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't like some hits at camp that are like not real NFL plays.
And it was like he just became a wall.
Right.
I mean, Gardner just kind of went and had the clearance and flopped. With Anderson standing there looking at him.
It's wild because, on both of those plays, it wasn't like – it didn't look like a huge physical effort from Ryan Anderson, and he just absolutely lit people up.
Yeah.
So are we strong day from Ryan Anderson? Is that the vibe in the room?
I would say so.
In the lost pod, I mentioned
him
yesterday.
I got to see the film.
In the lost pod. Pete's acknowledging it's a lost pod.
The forgotten pod, excuse me. So, but until yesterday, I haven't really seen a lot from Ryan Anderson, so maybe he's putting stuff together.
I think we got a shot of this this play. I'll show you guys when we get back to the tent. It was pretty spectacular.
Nice. Go ahead, RT.
Okay. I'm going with two guys we talked about. We've talked about extensively here.
Mo
Harris. You got to. I mean, he made a catch.
He dunked on Grossman.
Off of the helmet of the other guy, Greg Stroman. Another play, as Pete mentioned a few days ago. And almost made the play.
He's always there, just can't get a hand on it.
Right there with Mo Harris.
He actually broke up one pass today, Stroman.
Yes.
First time I'd seen it.
Yeah.
it's not the best.
Right. There's been a lot of bad.
Yeah. We're like day 11.
But he continues to make his case to make the
And we talked about this with Doxson out is really good news for Mo Harris because he just gets that many more reps.
And so does seems like Robert Davis gets a lot, too. Well,
he caught a TD today. It was
deep ball from Alex?
Yeah, it was a nice play, and Gruden goes, okay, Robbie!
It was a great route. I don't know. It was coming right at me, so I just happened to see it. But he ran a little out, and when he saw Alex step up in the pocket, he just kind of took off deep. And
he was wide open. He torched his defender.
Just put your hand up and run.
I
love
that. It's one of where you see the wide receiver and quarterback are on the same page. It was a great play.
All set, RT?
That's it.
RT has one thing for one thing, unlike Pete's normal four things.
Uh-huh.
I have one thing for one thing.
Good.
DJ Swearinger got a Veterans Day off today, which meant
DeShazer
Everett out there. And DeShazer can hit, man. That dude just I can't remember who it was that he cleaned up on the sideline. Where I'm going with this, I thought Everett looked pretty good out there with Monte. I don't know what the hell's going on at the safety position because I think – clearly, DJ Monte set. To me, DeShazer's set, too.
Yeah. Valuable special team.
After that, maybe it's Mitch's boy, Kenny Ladler. Maybe it's Fish.
Wait a minute.
Are we counting out
Aki
already?
You're saying that they're not going to
You didn't let me finish. I'm literally mid-sentence. I'm just saying who's playing at what – like, if the depth chart is based on the performance out here, Aki is not fourth. I know they're going to keep Apke on the roster. I recognize that. But I think Fish and Ladler are maybe playing at a higher level right now.
Yeah.
And they're not going to keep five safeties.
They could. They did last year.
That means you're not keeping five safeties and four running backs.
Is
those are guys.
They did last year.
Five safeties, nine linebackers.
They're not. I mean, somewhere you gotta. I don't know. I just.
Right, I know somewhere you got it, but these are all things possible if that's what. Those last three or four rosters. The thing is, the last I'd say three roster spots are almost regardless of position. They're right. Going to go. If it adds one extra here, one extra there, that's right. The way to. They're keeping that guy person for special teams, potential, or depth.
So Tandler believes that Apke will show in these preseason games on specials. And I tend to agree with you. He'll certainly have that opportunity.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good if he did. They are not going to cut him. He's a fourth-round pick.
Can you stash him on the practice squad, or is a fourth-round pick too, attractive to other teams to take off?
I think the speed is too attractive.
Yeah. So they got to keep him.
But do we all agree that, Fish had a pick today. Lord knows Mitch just talked about Kenny Ladler enough. And the thing, I'm not sure enough fans recognize that Ladler played – in the CFL last year. So it's not like he's
off the street.
He's not an undrafted guy purely. And undrafted, one of the guys I talked to last night at the podcast party said he wants us to talk more about the undrafted guys. So as Tandler rolls his eyes.
And look, when they do something, we'll talk about him, okay?
Right.
Like the receiver, Simikovs is a guy people talk about a lot. He's really good in one-on-ones because he can go up and get it. But in 11-on-11s, he's a little slower. He's not able to get open, so he doesn't do anything. Shea Fields is another guy. I haven't seen him really contribute at all in 11-on-11s.
Okay, and there Cam we go. Sims. Pete's undrafted player review. Let's
Cam
move
Sims
on.
Is also kind of invisible. These are all guys who are good in the one-on-one settings, but once it comes team stuff, they go quiet.
One-on-ones are totally set up for them to win.
Right, which is why I like going over there with my camera and filming it and getting all the retweets.
Ooh, let's get Shea Fields.
All right.
Oh,
podcast party. One thing from the podcast party. Go, Mitch. How many shots did you do?
Too many.
The turn no drink down policy was dicey.
It was dicey, but I think I survived.
How about you shotgunning beers with your bolo tie?
My
one
thing is the best use of the bolo tie was to open a shotgun.
I cannot believe we wore those bolo ties.
No, the bolo ties were
I can't believe they
hit.
Arrived on time.
How about you taking some mine and turning
and
yours?
Mitch had one anyway. Mitch had a backup
my
bolo.
Backup bolo.
A sick wolf bang at the moon bolo tie. But you, JP, taking mine and turning it into JP.
Yeah, JP. That was a pretty hot move.
The double bolo. You're proud of it. Bolo. You went to it a couple times. You just randomly take it off and give it. Take mine off.
So
and
what
give
is
it to
your one thing that you shotgun a beer with a bolo?
That's the best for all of our podcast listeners in the future. When you find yourself wearing a bolo tie, the point end of the bolo is great use to open shotguns, to open beers for shotgunning.
All right, there you have it, Tandler. You're up.
There you go. You know, I just thought the. Just such a knowledgeable bunch of people there, you know. And I guess to go to a podcast party, you've got to be, you know, pretty much into it. But just talking with some, just the depth of knowledge, and you know, we were talking about a bunch of different things. Of course, maybe they got a lot of that knowledge by listening to this podcast.
Hopefully. A little bit of
it was just a really good. And I tried to get around. I talked to a lot of people, and if I didn't get around to you, I apologize. I'll catch you at the next one.
Yeah, I thought it was – there was some debate. I think it was by far our biggest.
Yeah, because we had everybody –
we had an awesome space, too. Matchbox hooked it up. Like, that outside area was awesome, and then a lot of the people inside were with us,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we took over that whole kind of bar.
And honestly,
area.
Since I started talking about beer, let's talk about the Hardywood.
Yo, that Hardywood lager's
that
great.
That lager was awesome.
Yeah,
was,
I really enjoyed that.
That was great.
The lager there, the IPA, which has a longer name than just Hardywood IPA, but I can't remember.
It's like a VIPA.
Yeah, VIPA.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there was like a Falcon Smash. I had some of that.
Yeah, there was a Falcon Smash.
That's
a
great name.
Which is
a great
name for a
beer. All the Hardywood beers I had were excellent.
Can't thank Hardywood and Matchbox enough, but there's individual people. I tried to write some notes down. Now, granted, I tried to write these notes down at like midnight, so give me a break if I don't have everybody written.
I'll take the over on that timestamp.
Yeah, we're looking at the timestamps. We got 12:23, 12:24, 12:41. things were evolving quick. It was late.
Let's start with down from day one, John Nestor. John Nestor, it goes all the way back on the pod. The first ever party we did at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern.
We're like 15 people.
Yeah.
We like don't even refer to that one anymore.
That's
the dark ages.
That was like a preseason podcast
party. Yeah, exactly.
Johnny boy.
He's been there. He's come to all four.
But, you know, let's John Nestor real quick.
Yeah.
Has said that he's never done the tailgating.
That's so weird that he's never tailgated, by the way.
Whatever. So I told him that September 23rd, we better see him at FedEx Field for the Packers pregame tailgate, which is going to be spectacular.
Right. I can't even – I legitimately can't, like, think about that right now. But have we already –
that is the next podcast social event.
Yeah, it's the next podcast social event. It'll be the tailgate Packers game.
And hopefully like we're at 500 reviews, so we have JP in a kilt.
Or a quilt.
Or a quilt.
Or a quilt.
Let's how about my guy Tim Meek? Dude flew in from Indiana.
Yeah.
For the party.
He's our official Indiana representative.
He's our official Indiana correspondent.
Midwest, correspondent. I think he was.
Yeah, hell,
oh,
Midwest.
The whole Midwest
got the
Bureau.
Whole Midwest.
Yep. It's a big upgrade.
He said the flight from Indianapolis to Richmond, or to Dulles, was an hour. Said it took him 3.5 hours to drive from Dulles to Richmond.
Yikes.
He told me he was more excited to talk with us and be at the podcast party than he really was to watch practice. I mean,
that's very flattering and also bizarre, but I'll take it, man.
No, right. Because it's like this is a part of our daily, his daily life. And it's crazy how
that's
much.
That's my favorite part is people saying that they stare at the podcast app and refresh it all the time.
Well, and those poor people
and
are
they
waiting,
let down yesterday.
And then
I
screwed on your dumb ass.
I think go, I Pete. Told every single one that, you're not getting one today and it's my fault. I apologize humbly.
But the best part with Tim. So our guy Steve Lamb, who had quite a podcast party performance, by the way.
Quite a podcast party
performance. I wonder what his bar tab was.
I also
dude.
Wonder how he's feeling today.
Yo,
talk about hangover pod.
I don't know if he's going to be walking for a while listening to our podcast.
I mean, he better because that's where the health comes from. But I think Steve better buy his wife some flowers, dude. I think he was driving his wife crazy.
Yeah, he kept saying I'm in trouble to me over and over again.
But Steve Lamb donated a really cool – big Redskins tailgating tent.
It was like 15 by 15
right.
tent.
And
real deal.
And equally heavy. Like, it's imagine boxing that tent up. It's huge.
Hey, I was holding that thing up while we were auctioning, raffling, free raffling
Give
it
away.
Off.
Free raffling it off.
And I was like, let's announce his name. This thing's heavy.
All right, so it was roughly the size of golf clubs. Does that sound about right?
Give or
maybe
take.
Maybe heavier, but about the same size. Yeah. So my guy Tim Meek that has to fly back to Indiana. What prize does he win but the giant tailgate tent?
The heaviest prize that we have.
And, dude, he was so committed. He's like, I'm either shipping it back or I'm bringing it on the airplane, but it's
that
coming home with me.
Is amazing.
So
I totally missed that.
I just found
he's
that.
Like, it might cost more to ship it home than the thing costs, but I'm making it home.
Oh, wow.
All right. My guy Troy Dodd, who is a down from day one
committed.
Guy.
Yep.
Just a great dude. A lot of fun. I was really glad he won the DJ Swearinger jersey.
Yep, well deserved.
Ginger Beard Man is a 10 out of 10.
We Oshied together, and then
I forgot
just
you Oshied with him.
Basically pouring my Oshie beer into his Oshie beer. He got two because I...
No, you poured it on his face.
Yeah, I realized I couldn't finish, so I was just like, I'm just going to pour it on Jeff and try to make this fun and distract everybody from the fact that I can't do it anymore. So I think it worked out.
Joe Miller from Southern Maryland was there with his girlfriend, Courtney. They were awesome.
Nice
bunch.
It
was just so cool to – there were old people there. There were young people there.
There's an 8-year-old named Michaela who says that I am her favorite on the podcast in all of your faces.
I
Michaela, you're my favorite
an
listener.
8-year-old is listening.
Yeah.
Wow. That makes me question a lot. Be careful how much you curse, JP.
I know. Shit.
Well, she shouldn't listen to the Darius Geis interview coming up.
Brian Hall from Wilmington.
Yep, good guy.
Dude drove up from Wilmington, North Carolina and went for it. People were going for it last night. Brian Hall was still there when I left, and he tweeted me this morning something about, like,
the struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
And you wrote back, very real.
Very real.
Too real.
Susie Q.
Yep.
Always,
right?
Always there.
Something happened between Susie and Mitch's knee that we're not really sure what happened. Is that accurate?
It's not for podcast discussion.
Yee.
It's between Susie and my knee.
That's
apparently.
A full yee.
This was all after we left Matchbox.
This is a 10 out of 10.
This is when things devolved very quickly.
A lot of our media guys showed up. A lot of the Redskins media guys showed up, and we greatly appreciated that.
I did shots with Diane again. They were
Diane. The party doesn't officially start until Diane Cheeseborough buys Pete a shot.
And for some reason, the kamikaze shots were, like, full-on drinks, and it was horrifying.
That was the one. Matchbox needs to, like, I guess they don't pour a lot of shots at Matt. You know, it's a nicer place. The pepperoni pizza I had was phenomenal.
Banging,
the chicken wings I had were phenomenal.
Yep.
I ate so many of those mini burgers. They were so good.
Our Angry Lawyer VA bought me a scalding hot tequila shot. Like, it wasn't warm. It tasted like he put it in the microwave. And after I did it, I was like, I need to stop hanging out with you. And I ate, like, 9 pieces of pizza with JP.
My dude.
I talked to Angry Lawyer for a long time. I had not met him before.
I had not either. He was
a trip.
Quite a personality.
Yes.
Quite a personality.
He's a trip is what we used to say in the 60s.
He's a trip.
He's
all
a
right.
trip.
My guy Mark, who I've now hung out with, the coolest part is hanging out with him my first ever game, road game, I guess.
Oh, he showed me the picture, yeah.
Right.
That's Michaela's dad.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Can we go back to Brian for 1 second?
Sure.
Just for all of you guys, he told me that he thinks that I have the best radio voice on this podcast.
You don't have a lot of competition. Nasally me, rocks in his throat JP, who used to work in coal mines, and just high-pitched whiny Tandler. Like, you just have to be league average.
Hello.
You just need to be a league average voice, and you are.
No, I'll take league average.
That's fine.
Yeah, it really is like we all have kind of terrible voices except Mitch.
Good thing it's just
you sound like
audio.
Barry White compared to the rest of us. Just a great night, man.
Yeah.
That was a great night.
And thank you to everyone there. If we're not saying your name, it's because
there were too many people.
Let's shout out the Mats. There's like
Rally Captain was there.
There's a bunch of Mats.
He would not let me wear his chain, and he gets very upset if you call it a clock. At some point, it was a clock. We have video, I swear, that when it was a clock.
I called it a bolo tie.
All right.
Yeah, we said it was a big bolo custom tie. Bolo.
It is just a big bolo.
People,
I like that.
People said that since I wasn't wearing a collar, my bolo was just a necklace.
It was stupid.
That's what
I mean,
it was.
You can't wear a bolo without a collar.
I did it last night. I rocked the hell out of it.
He claims he's going to keep wearing the bolo.
Yeah, it's not going to be a one-time thing. I'm going to accessorize with the bolo tie.
Oh. Now, hopefully, by the time we get back to the hotel, my bolo will have arrived.
Maybe.
And then I'll have two bolos, and I'll be feeling good.
Bolo time all the time.
All right. We're about to go to Darius, then the Pete. You just coughing directly into
like,
the microphone.
That's why we can't give you a microphone.
Wow, I almost just lost it there for a second.
Oh, my God. The hangover just hit Pete. Now we got Giggly Tandler.
Gross.
It's time to call it quits here.
It is, definitely.
All right, we got Darius guys coming up, and then the Lost Pod on the back end of that. If you want to stick through all of it, it was fun. Real quick, here's an announcement from me.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Monday and Tuesday, I am doing radio with Fred Smoot on the Team 980. It'll be me and Fred from 1 to 4. We're going to have a lot of fun. Listen to it if you can. Team 980 has an app, so you can listen to it wherever you are. I know a lot of our fans are not in the D.C. area, so just get their app, and it's pretty easy.
Congrats, JP. You and Fred are a hell of a duo.
If you want to hear some radio voices, those are going to be some radio voices right there.
JP is going to be the one who doesn't talk the most for once in an episode.
Dude.
I hope you do
with
okay.
Fred, it's going to be wild.
You can't mute Fred.
Yeah. All right. Here comes Darius.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? No player has generated the excitement of Darius Geis here in Richmond among Redskins fans. How's it going for you?
Everything's good, man. You know, killing this heat. And I'll be trying to tell everybody, man, I'm from the boot. This ain't nothing compared to the boot camp.
This is hot, man.
It was pretty hot today. You know, this probably was the closest it's felt to home. But other than that, everything's good, bro.
The interaction you have with fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just happened here in the tent. I mean, how special is all of that for you? I know you got love at LSU. But coming to a new team where, you know, new situation, NFL football, what does it mean for you?
I just have an infectious personality, you know. I like to spread love everywhere, you know, and obviously get it in return. But it's just one of those things, you know. I'm very fortunate to be here, you know. So why not, be all smiles whenever I strap it up and get on the field, man. You know, a lot of people wish they was in my spot, you know, so I'm just blessed and grateful to be here.
Let's talk about on the field then.
Mm-hmm.
How are you learning this offense? How are you getting acclimated to Alex and kind of the pace of the NFL?
You know, just getting out there, you know, and they give signals and give plays and you just know everything that's going on. You know, it makes everything slow down, you know, because in college when you're preparing for the NFL, you know, the main thing they tell you is, you know, the speed of the game is different. You know, it's a lot faster. You know, all these people are smart. They know what's going on. So it just feels good when you're actually on the same level as everybody else and it actually slows everything down. So that's just a great part about knowing what's going on.
So has that happened for you that it is faster on this level?
That happened in OTAs. You know, I'm a quick learner. You know, I'm a visual learner. You know, I don't have to write down many notes to know what's going on. You know, I'm one of those guys that can just look at it and, you know, tell it to myself a few times. And then once practice comes, I know everything that's going on.
And a lot of the other guys have told me Alex goes quick in the huddle. Everything's fast to the line of scrimmage. Is that different for you? I mean, coming out of college at LSU where you guys were kind of a primary run first team.
Well, last year, you know, it was kind of quicker, you know, for us. So I'm kind of already used to it. You know, your brain just got to think, you know, two times faster. You know, whenever they call on the play, you know, fast as Alex does and you hurry up and get into the line and then he hurry up and call the snap, like, you got to be ready to go. You got to know what's going on.
And what do you think of Alex just as your QB mobile guy? I mean, he ran the option with Rob Kelly today. That surprised me. Do you like playing with a mobile guy?
You know, I'm not used to having mobile quarterbacks, you know, so I don't know what the difference is, you know, to playing with a quarterback that is just sit there or one that's mobile, you know, because I've only played with, you know, quarterbacks that sit there most of the time. So, you know, you don't really get, you know, much out of Alex, you know, running at practice because, you know, he's working on the pass game. And when he do runs, you know, he's not running 100. You know, he's just, you know, just showing everybody he can get out the pocket. So, you know, it's just one of those things I'm still getting used to, you know.
Week one, Arizona. You want that first snap?
Oh, I don't care.
You don't need the first carry.
Nah, as long as I play.
What is the running back rotation looking like? How do you see it kind of projecting out?
Well, he has it very random, you know, so
who's he? Randy?
Coach Jordan. So, you know, one practice he'll have Samaje starting with the ones, then the next he'll have Rob starting, or even the next period. Like, one period, I'll be with the ones. Next period, Bibbs will be with the ones. Next period, Byron will be with the ones. Like, he, you know, he has it to where you can't really get a feel to what your spot is. You know, he's just got it all over the place. He does a great job of doing that, actually.
Is that helpful for you to have to work with all the different line combinations?
Oh, yeah, so you can get a feel for, you know, everybody that might be on the field at any time. You know, because injuries, you know, play a big factor in the NFL. You know, you never know who's going to be in front of you blocking. You never know who's going to be the quarterback, you know. So you need to get a feel for everybody that's on offense.
What are your goals for this season?
I don't know. I don't really have any.
So you won't put, like, a statistic out there or something? Every time I go on the radio, people ask me if you're going to rush for 1,000 yards. Is that something in your mind or not at all?
No. When I'm out there, I just play. You know, how many yards I get at the end of the game, that's not going through my mind at the moment. What's going through my mind is knowing the play they're calling and doing my best every play.
That's probably a smart outlook rather than trying to set up an expectation that you're not really in control of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little – I do this word association. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say some names, and you just tell me what comes into your mind. We'll start with a Louisiana guy, Rob Kelly.
Funny. That dude is hilarious.
All right. We'll stay in the running back room, Chris Thompson.
Quiet. You know, a real pro.
When I did this with Chris, he called you childish, for the record. But mm-hmm. I think he said you knew that.
Yeah.
But he meant it in a good way.
It's a different type of childish.
Right. I said childlike is maybe more appropriate.
Well, it don't matter what's appropriate, as long as he explains what he means by it.
He did. He did.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
What about Jamison Crowder?
He's also quiet, too. And whenever we're on that field, he's a high motor. He's ready to go.
Who are the guys that are helping you most? Just kind of making the transition to NFL Pro Bowl.
Look, I mean, I kind of do my own thing, man. It's not, you know, I'm not really, like, you know, leaning on nobody. You know, I'm just trying to transition to being a pro as well. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's going to come and, you know, have somebody baby me around. Like, I'm doing my own thing, man. You know, whenever I have questions and stuff, you know, I go to all the running backs, you know, whenever I don't know what's going on. And, you know, even the guys on the defense, I mess around with J-No the most, you know, and – that's just what it is. It's right. Just guys I connect with, you know. And it's not even so much
he has a similar personality, infectious, mm-hmm. charismatic. I'm stealing your words, so yeah. Give me Josh Norman.
Dude, Jano, you know, he's also, you know, one of those guys that you can see on the field and see one thing, but, you know, when you're with him and, you know, at the house and stuff or whatever, or outside of football, totally different person. You know, he's one of those quiet, smooth guys as well. You know, he's not really, you know, how he is on the field. You know, he's a different person.
Well, stay on defense. What about John Allen?
He's quiet, too. He don't really say much
Who's
either.
Who's talking, then? I'm hitting the wrong guys.
See, you are.
I know somebody that talks. DJ Swearinger.
You talk. Swag gonna get you all day. Especially if you start crap with him, he not going to let you hit the end of it.
What about Jay Gruden?
Oh, he's hilarious. You know, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. You know, but he's also one of those guys, you know, he reminds me of me. You know, he likes to have fun as well, you know, and that's good, especially, you know, for a head coach and, you know, for somebody, you know, that's leading his team. You know, you don't want a guy that's just always, you know, out there like he got something up his ass or something. Like, you know, you want a guy like that that's also infectious like everyone else is, you know, and gives off, you know, a great vibe.
So you talk about the fun and the good vibes, and you're right. Like, that is Jay to a T. But eventually there will be a bad loss, or there will be a fumble or an interception. Or when I had Alex Smith on, he talked about, you know, right now it's easy for everything to be great, but we haven't played any games yet. We shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back. Do you carry a similar mindset that this is fun, but eventually it's going to look a lot different?
Oh, man, on the field, I don't play. You know, I'm all happy and shit, not because we had practice, but shit, when we're on the field, I'm not smiling. Shit, I'm pissed off if I don't get a first down, if I fumble or drop a pass. You know, you're going to see a different guy on the field.
Well said. we might have to use a couple beeps in there, but well said. This is your opportunity.
Field, it ain't no game.
All right, last one. This is your opportunity. Say whatever you want to Redskins fans. Talk to them direct about what you want from them, what you're going to give them, however it goes.
All I'm going to say to the fans is, you know, is either you're a ride or die fan or you're not. Stick with us all the way. Don't be one of those wishy-washy fans. Just stick with us.
Well said. Thank you very much.
What up, everybody? It is podcast party day. Who's hype?
All right.
Let's go.
All right.
We're not doing any shtick, though. We are going right to football. There's a lot of shtick coming later.
Okay,
but
good.
We saw the best, most violent practice I believe I've ever seen in Richmond.
Intense.
I've been coming down here since 2013.
The most intense.
That was serious hitting, especially the goal line drills. I think it's good for this team. I think the players were into it. The defense was very fired up. The running backs were fired up, trying to get in the end zone. I think it was a really good, strong, spirited session. Tandler.
Yeah, you know, it's always hard to kind of draw the line between having them go, you know, hard in practice and keeping them healthy, which obviously has been an issue here last year.
To generate that level of competition and pads and hitting again. But I think it's great they did it today.
And yeah, there's a decent amount. They're kind of protecting the ones a little more than the twos and
big
threes.
Big time.
Yeah.
But, like, the play that stands out the most to me on the goal line right in front of us
was
first and goal at the one, and the offense could not get in. And Preston Smith went all out to bring down Rob Kelly when Rob Kelly almost had the edge. And it wasn't a horse collar, but Preston had him up high and brought him down hard. And it's August 4th.
And then the play before, John Allen broke through, blew up a run play, and stood up and was just screaming expletives for like 10 seconds, and the fans were loving it. The defensive line was animated all day.
I'll tell you what, the John Allen intensity is
awesome.
Dude,
I love it.
It is awesome to see.
I'm all for it.
I think it's time for a John Allen discussion.
Absolutely.
I think we've all kind of forgotten about him in a way, and now the excitement's on Daron Payne.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, after a rookie year that lasted for five games, it's an expectation, you know, for him to be like that, which is good.
He
spend a lot of the time here talking about kind of the exceptions, the Kenny Ladlers who were looking better than we expected to, the Greg Stromans who may or may not be looking that good. That's what we talk most about. But, yeah, Allen is performing as expected, which is very good.
I would argue he's performing better than expected. He looks great.
He looks dominant, and that's what he's talked about wanting to do, and that's kind of what he's doing. And Tandler, you've got a great point because of the nature of training camp and us all knowing that they have to cut this roster significantly. They're carrying 90 right now. I'm not a math guy, but to get to 53 is getting rid of 37 guys, I believe. Did I get that right?
You did. You got it right.
How about that?
Ding, 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 ding.
So we get caught up in that, trying to figure things out. where the guys that are really good have looked really good. Like, John Allen's been really good. DJ Swearinger's been really good. I think Zach Brown has showed the speed is all the way there. I think you're saying it's an expectation. I think some people have kind of forgotten about Jonathan Allen.
Yeah. Because he did not get the hype that Daron Payne and Darius Geis got this offseason, even though he is, kind of a rookie, half a rookie.
Yeah, less of a rookie. Second year minus.
Okay, fine.
Right. He has five games. Last year everybody was saying was Josh Doctson's rookie year. I mean, he only played two games.
Yeah, but he, barely played.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's an exact comparison,
okay.
But
you also saw the difference.
It's the same idea.
Right.
You saw the team. You saw the team went start falling off when John got hurt.
Right. It was entirely different. All right. There was a play that really stood out to me in 11-on-11s. Let's start. I want to go to Chris Thompson. But Alex Smith did not have a very good day today. That was the least impressed I was with Smith in camp.
He made
a couple throws late, but early on, there was some ugly stuff.
The deep ball that Josh Norman picked off was into triple cover.
Yeah, that was a weird one. Robert Davis.
But I think also, there was one play where just a clear miscommunication with Crowder. That, Crowder kind of went down, turned around, and I think Alex expected him to keep going, 7-8 more yards downfield. Crowder just was standing there waiting for the ball. So that looked bad. But, yeah, he did have some misfires, the interception by Norman being one of them.
And you never know if they're working on something, right? That's the hard part with trying to decipher camp is maybe Alex is like, I'm working on a 7-step drop on this play, period, and it's going to go. But that was a duck. It floated, and it was into triple coverage.
It's also Fan Appreciation Day. And you know that they want to put on a show, so they throw a few more deep balls. They take probably a few more risks than they normally would because they want to get the fans hyped. They want to complete those big passes that gets everyone jumped.
That's fair.
One thing that Alex did well is that at the end.
He's going to one thing already?
No, it's not a one thing. My one thing. Alex's one thing. I'm not doing one thing. I'm just talking about Alex Smith. Just let me freaking do it. There was a one-minute drill, and he completed a pass to Chris Thompson. Thompson got tackled, and they ran up to the line.
That was my next thing.
Quickly reorganized themselves. It looks like – because kind of with – previous quarterbacks, sometimes it looks like in two-minute drills when they're doing no huddle, it was kind of confused. Alex Smith runs really tight.
Like when
operation.
They took a knee at the goal line?
Yes.
Taylor off the top rope!
I wasn't going to mention it, but if you want to, Rich, yeah. But then right after that, so he got the group together really quickly, and the next throw is a touchdown to Paul Richardson. So may not have been his best day performance-wise, but just seeing how well he gets the offense in sync and communicating, it was a very good operation there at the end.
I agree. I want to be clear that fans should not panic because I don't think Alex had his best day of practice. It's not a big deal.
Absolutely not.
But there was one play in the 11-on-11 prior to the two-minute situation that impressed me with Alex. First off,
he's definitely going to steal mine right now.
He's on the move constantly. Watching the movement from this quarterback versus the last 5 years, really since RG3 in 2012, and this does not look anything close to that.
Different type of movement.
But Alex is on the move more than half of the plays that are pass plays. You agree with me, Taylor?
Yeah, and even when he's not on the move, I've seen him, drop straight back a few times and then take a couple of shuffle steps to his left or to his right just to buy a little bit more time. That's, that sometimes that's more important mobility than the scrambling around stuff.
That's what I was going to say is his sliding up and back and left and right within the pocket, he feels the pocket well. That's different than what we've seen from quarterbacks
and he's getting good work at camp, feeling the pocket because he got no
tackle. Joe Theismann, I think. That good.
I have zero Theismann memories. No chance for Pete.
No.
I mean, I've seen the play of LT crush
him. The first quarterback I remember is Shane Matthews. First Redskins quarterback.
Okay. Let's skip over this then.
For me, it's Doug.
How was his pocket awareness?
Not good, Bob.
All right. One thing?
Sure.
Go, Pete.
All right, so my one thing is...
He has notes.
Yeah.
Pete's got notes for one thing.
Rob Kelly had a lot of short yardage conversions, and for a running back who we think is on the team but who still needs to impress, that was important. There was one sequence where the first team offense got stuffed twice on 1 yard to go situations, a pass that was short and a run that was short. Second team offense then came in. JP and Rich are both on their phones as I'm talking. Their millennial meter is just blaring. Rob Kelly converted both those runs and didn't just get across the line. He blew by for a 7-8-9 yard gain, and then he scored a touchdown later. So Rob Kelly in short yard was a really good combo today. It was a smart play, and he showed out.
We
Go ahead, Mitch.
We sort of talked about it a little bit with the pocket awareness, but there was a play in 11-on-11 when Alex dropped straight back. He got pressure from both tackles, and he slid up between the two guards and hit Brian Quick on a crossing pattern over the middle. That kind of movement inside the pocket, as we said, is just something we haven't seen, and I think that's going to be the big difference maker between this quarterback and others we've had.
RT, me or you?
I'll go.
I agree with Mitch, by the way. The movement is constant.
Do you agree with me about Rob Kelly, or did you not hear a thing I said?
I agree with you. At any point, you can check the tapes, bro. Like, Rob Kelly, I've been saying, will be on this roster all along. I'm with you.
And after a day like today, that stock goes up even more.
Okay, Trey Quinn.
Wide
receiver. He made a few. He made one diving catch down here at this near end zone.
Yep.
Down at 3-yard line. He made a play. He caught a touchdown pass. Made another play where he caught a pass like right near the line. Skandrick kind of came up, blindsided him. Didn't hit him real hard, but he still hung on to the ball. Still had that awareness. So I thought Quinn had. Didn't make any spectacular plays except for that one diving catch was pretty good. Mm-hmm. About an 8 maybe on a scale of 10.
The one thing, I tweeted this out, there was one play on the near sideline where Trey beat Fabian Moreau on the route. Like, it was just a simple out route, and the footwork was there. He had Moreau beat, but he didn't position his body to keep him beat. And so when the ball came, Moreau, who has crazy closing speed, was able to get there and knock that pass away. I would wager some cash that Ike Hilliard talked to him, because then on the other same pattern, opposite side of the field, maybe 10 minutes later, he was much better at keeping his shoulder high and working the turn. And I think if you can – whether or not that somebody, like a coach, actually went and talked to him or not, learning from something like that and instituting it right away is very important.
Okay. Let me get one other quick negative thing. And let me just read this from my practice report and see if you all agree, if you've seen this. Smith found Crowder open for a touchdown in red zone work. The receiver got a step on Monte Nicholson. That's a sentence I'm typing far too often in camp so far. Ooh. Nicholson he's getting beat. And I think I can't remember talking about it in the podcast. We just talked about it. But the way they're positioning the safeties, they've changed
Right.
So I think Nicholson might be adjusting to things that he wasn't doing all that often last year. But he has been getting beat quite a bit.
Just because you brought up your practice report, I think it's important for our listeners to know that Mr. Tandler, who gives me a hard time about my phone being dead all the time, could not finish the practice report.
Oh, yeah, your iPad overheated.
Well,
right?
Overheated.
Your iPad not in physical shape.
It still had an 85% charge.
I don't believe it for a second.
I showed you it.
Right, when it was plugged in for 2 hours.
Okay, thanks, Mitch.
Go ahead.
Next.
Mitch just
JP, your turn.
Segments. Jordan Reed in 11-on-11s look good. I think.
So is this actually two things? We're just doing two things now?
I haven't done one yet.
Oh.
God, you're such an idiot. Jordan Reed, like.
You got more room on your sign. We can put it
Jordan Reed looks good, is healthy, is in good spirits. I don't think, almost similarly to John Allen, that maybe we're not talking about him as much as we should. Jordan Reed getting through camp and being ready to go is a huge deal, man. And I think we all need to be cognizant of that. All right, time for some shtick. So for the guy that hates shtick, log off. It's the week of Mitch.
Mitch week.
We played Kinlock yesterday with Mount Rushmore listener Chuck Honey. And I have never seen you play that good of golf.
I have never played that good of golf
before. Why don't you tell the listeners the numbers you posted?
I've had a lower score before, but not at nearly as tough a course as Kinlock was. Went out in a 44, came in a 40.
Absurd.
And as it was getting dark, too, we could barely see the hole.
Had a little chunky chip on 18, if that not happened, we might have been staring a 39 in the face.
Right.
It was.
He was just pounding drives off the tee.
And Pete Pete was not good, and our team lost.
Did birdie two holes in a row.
And that's all he cares about.
That's all he cares
our
about.
Our team got trucked. It was me and Pete versus Mitch and Chuck.
We lost so much
and
money.
And we lost every bet we made. I think we halved one bet.
We tied two bets, I think.
And and all Pete cared about were his two birdies.
I think it was six,
in a row.
We were 6-0-2.
In a row is the important part.
Or you guys were 0-6-2, I guess.
Mitch also had a big win at Cheney Irish Pub in a contest.
And today you got to meet Kenny Ladler. It's the week of Mitch.
It's Mitch's week.
Everything's coming up, Mitch.
When is Rich's week? Or is every day
every
Rich's
week
day?
Is my
every
week.
Other week is Rich's
That's,
week.
There he is. All right. Introduce yourself.
My name's Austin, and I'm a big fan of this podcast, and I think this poster pretty much proves it for those who can see it, I guess.
They can't see it, dude.
We're going to work.
Nobody can see it.
All right. My guy Austin is here wearing a Darius Geis LSU jersey, and he made a sign.
I like that.
That
purple.
Has
purple.
Just a wild amount of goofy.
Every inside joke we've
every
ever made.
Every shtick there is on here. Can we tell the kilt story?
Yeah, kilt's good.
So, no, we're not telling that.
Okay.
You did
That's
a lot
right,
because
everything
work.
Else is awesome.
Yeah, you did a lot of great work.
What's your favorite line on there?
What's your favorite line on there?
Let's see.
There's literally probably 100 inside jokes.
Can I read
jokes.
This one?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So, number of body parts Pete has had drained, none. Number of threes drained out of 20, greater than 10, maybe. Pete showering, priceless.
Pete stinks, and it's a fact.
Says the guy who wears worn the same blue shirt every day of camp.
I wear this shirt for interviews, dude.
And you're still wearing
because
it.
Because I
what
keep
interview
it clean
right
in
now?
The tent.
Yeah, I'm sure it's so clean.
You stink.
Okay.
This tent
people are turning off this podcast left and right.
Tonight is a party. It's going to be epic. I'm very excited. This is a brief one. We got no guests because it was Fan Appreciation Day. It was cool seeing all the guys go sign all those autographs. I mean, Josh Norman was out there longer than we were, and Taylor and I had to go film something. For the fans that reach out to us, it's incredible, and we appreciate it. Tonight's the night we're going to pay it back. So hopefully you're at Matchbox and Short Pump.
Literally pay it back.
I think this one could be big, Mitch.
I was saying that I am cautiously optimistic. This is going to be the biggest one by far.
And I have a little news for tomorrow's podcast about what I'll be doing on Monday and Tuesday. And maybe you guys can hear more from me. Anybody got anything to add? We good?
Good.
One more football nugget for those who survived the shtick. Ryan Anderson, seen him working on a spin move, and today he used it in first team drills, and it worked, and he would have sacked Alex Smith. So maybe JP talked about how he's been in the four-point stance. Maybe another spin move will add another move to his repertoire and help him contribute.
I tell you what, a good practice like that, I think you got a 90% football-only pod. There was not a lot of shtick today.
No.
And that's okay. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, we're done. See you at Matchbox. I'm buying 100 beers.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.